Awesome. Thank you, Mike. This morning, we're starting our new sermon series entitled, We Believe. When we say this phrase, I believe, we can mean several different things. For example, when I was in high school, our student section, whenever our football team would win a game, they would start saying, I believe that we have won, over and over and over again. Or you might say, I believe that there's a Starbucks down the road. You're not 100% certain of this fact, but you're pretty sure that you know that there is a Starbucks down the road. Another way you could use this phrase, I believe, is stating matters of opinion. For example, I believe that the Browns are the best football team. Now, this is your opinion. It may or may not be based in fact. This week, we're starting our series where we're looking at the Apostles' Creed in detail. This creed makes various statements on different beliefs that Christians hold as foundational. We will look at basics of Christian faith, including belief in God, belief in Jesus as God's Son, the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Each week, this week and the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at each of these things and what they mean in our lives and our Christian walk of faith. As Christians, these are core to our faith. They're the non-negotiables. So when we say we believe in Christ as God's Son in the Apostles' Creed, we're not stating a matter of opinion in our faith. This is, in our faith, a fact. Now, the Apostles' Creed was written in the year 400, and the fact that it still remains a tenet of many faiths speaks to its truthfulness. It's ecumenical in its acceptance, meaning it's accepted across a wide variety of Christian faiths. This week, we're looking, though, at the first several lines of the Apostles' Creed. The section we're looking at is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Now, there are really two beliefs in this statement. The first belief is that there is a God. And the second is that that God created heaven and earth. One of the arguments made by that person, people who don't believe in God, is that they point to all the atrocities made or done in God's name. For example, the Crusades, when horrible atrocities were committed to thousands and thousands of people. They can look at Nazis in World War II who claimed to be creating a perfect Christianity. Slavery was justified through Scripture and continued as an institution that supposedly was supported by God. However, this argument against God's existence based on these atrocities breaks down when you, by simply looking at the atrocities committed by non-religious people, those who do not believe in God. God or no God, people will find ways to do awful and horrible things to one another. In my own life, I only have to think of all the times I would come home from summer camp or a youth retreat. I had just had a mountaintop experience. I felt connected to God, only to come home and scream at my little brother for looking at me funny or touching my stuff or breathing in my direction or some other silly little thing that little siblings do. Even after having a whole week or a weekend surrounded by Christian teachings and Christian worship, it took me less than 5 minutes to come home and be very unchristian to my poor little brother. And chances are, if you're sitting here this morning, taking an hour or two out of your Sunday morning to come here to this particular house of worship, it's probably safe to assume that you believe in God. But if not, that's okay. We still love you and we welcome you anyway. But you probably, even if you don't believe in God, you probably suspected that when you came to a building called a church, that we would have this basic tenet in our worship, in our songs, and in our teaching. So throughout the sermon, I'm going to go with the premise that you believe in God. But if this is not true, I would invite you to listen with an open heart and an open mind, and I would love to have a conversation with you while I will do the same for your beliefs. With that being said, I'm going to suggest several observations that I believe to be true if God does exist. So as you can see, we have some Christmas trees set up this morning. Well, they look like Christmas trees, but really they're being transformed into We Believe trees. So each week, we are going to add a leaf to these trees. And it reminds me of a quote by Stephen Covey, who wrote the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He said to begin with the end in mind. So let me tell you where this ends, and we'll begin there. So after the sermon, we're going to say together as a congregation the Apostles' Creed. After that, the ushers are going to pass out a little green leaf to you, and you're going to write on that leaf. When you're done writing on the leaf, you're going to bring them forward and place them on the trees. And magically, the trees will be transformed into We Believe trees. So you can start off by thinking about that, but that's where we're going. So the first realization we need to have, if we're going to claim that God does exist, is that he is the creator, if we're going to believe that he is the creator of heaven and earth, is that we as individuals are not as important as we think we are. Psalm 91 through 5 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night, you sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. God created this whole world and everything in it without the help of humans. But in his grace, he invites us to be creators with him. But he doesn't really need us. God was God before us, and when we are gone, God still will be. I remember as a teenager when I was learning to drive, I suddenly became an expert in all the rules of the road. So I would say these things to my mom and dad. I would say, you know, Mom, when you make a left or a right turn, you really should turn into the lane closest to you. Or I would say to my dad, you know, Dad, you're really not supposed to cross a yellow line, even in a parking lot. At some point, one of them would look at me very lovingly and say, how did I ever drive without you? And just like my parents knew how to drive before me, God knows everything without us. But the really amazing thing is that God, even though he does not need us, he created us and he loves us and invites us to be creators and caretakers of his creation with him. You see, when the original hearers of 1 John 4 heard that God is love and that God loves them, this would have been a revolutionary idea to them. See, the only gods that they had ever heard of were gods that didn't really care about humanity's lives. They had their own life that they were living, and if they happened to interfere or bless a human, that was great, but that was not what the gods did. See, the gospel of love that is preached throughout the whole scripture, including here in 1 John, is what caused the church to grow in its infancy and change people's hearts and lives. We are called to love others not because they deserve it, but because God loves us and we don't deserve it. If God exists, then we are not as important as we think we are. But God still loves us and cares for us. If God exists, then we are also created as those who have been invited to be co-creators and co-caretakers with God. We are invited to care for his creation. This care can be played out in a multitude of ways. This caring means caring for both humanity and the earth in which we inhabit. Being good stewards of our resources, both monetarily and our natural resources. This is not only an act of following God's will in our personal life, but it's an act of true discipleship. How can we as a church body claim that we believe in a God who is maker of heaven and earth and not treat that earth with care and respect? We give a better witness to the world when we, through our actions, are in line with the tenets of the faith that we claim to be true. And this is true in a variety of areas of our lives, including our care for the environment. So if God does exist, then we are not as important as we think we are, but God still loves us and cares for us. If God does exist, then we are to care for his creation. And if God does exist, then we are never alone, never without hope, and should be constantly searching for God's will and where it is leading us next. Next week, we're going to talk about the life of Christ in more detail. But one thing we see in the life of Christ is that he was always on the move. And John Wesley, in his advice to his preachers, said never to stay in one place more than is strictly necessary. And he saw this example in Christ. Christ was always moving towards those who were hurting and needed God's love. As his followers, that is the direction that we should be moving. As we go through our lives, are we moving towards love, towards showing others God's love in Christ? Or are we moving in a direction of isolation and self-preservation? God's will for our lives can sometimes seem hard to figure out. But you will find, and I have found, that if we are moving towards being more loving and in a direction that brings life, we can count on God to direct our footsteps. So throughout this morning's sermon, I have repeated this phrase, if God exists, then. If God exists, then we are not as important as we think we are, but God loves us and cares for us. If God does exist, then we are called to care for his creation. And if God does exist, then we are never alone or without hope, but should always be searching for God's will in our life. But there's one more thing that I think we should reflect on this morning. If God exists, then what is our response to be? If we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, how will we respond? How will we live our lives today and next week and next month? What is one small thing that we can do in our own lives to respond to this belief we share that God is the creator of heaven and earth? With this in mind, would you please join me in saying together the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, if I could have the ushers start passing out the leaves. And as they do so, I would invite you to spend some time in prayer and reflection and respond to this question. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I will respond by, and you fill in how you are going to respond. And when you are done and you feel called, you can come up and place your leaves on either of the two trees.
Thank you.